Tereo Ererangi o Te Mania. This episode was produced in Otatahi by Plains Media, with support from New Zealand On Air.
It's time now for Green Thumbs in Canterbury, out and about with the Canterbury Horticultural Society.
Good morning, Amy.
Good morning, Ray. How are you doing?
I'm doing just fine. I mean, these cool, chilly, freezing mornings are nasty, but once you get up and get round, it's fine, isn't it?
It's not too bad, though. Like the nice, crisp autumn days with the sun still out.
Yes, that's true. As long as the sun's out and when it's low in the sky, everything's quite got a nice golden glow, isn't it?
Yeah, and everything's going brown and it's just, it's very autumn.
All the leaves are falling off the trees around us, so I have no leaves for mulch this year.
One of my neighbours has a persimmon tree in their front yard and all of the leaves have fallen off and there's these three
gorgeous,
perfect persimmons on it. And I'm like, are you going to eat those? Because they look amazing. And every time I walk past, I'm like, So I hope they get eaten because they look
I think
perfect.
They're probably leaving them so they look beautiful and then the birds will enjoy them.
They will, they will. They just look absolutely gorgeous at the moment.
They're like little lanterns in a way, aren't they?
Yes.
Anyway, enough waffling on about autumn because winter is just around the corner. Though I'm not sure that we're not going to just go spring, autumn. Spring, autumn.
I'd like a little bit more winter.
Yeah, because my peonies are up, my adelias are up.
Yeah, my daffodils are starting to come up and I'm like, you're a bit early.
I've only just planted mine. But yeah, I'm a bit worried, so I'm going to mulch them and hope to
good idea.
Quiet them down as they go back to sleep.
I hope so. Early. Yeah, I hope so.
Yeah. Anyway.
Book reviews.
Now, this is, what have you been, yes, you're the edible flower.
Yes.
So. After talking to Marion last month, bought one too.
So I reviewed The Edible Flower, A Modern Guide to Growing, Cooking and Eating Edible Flowers. This is by Erin Bunting and Joe Facer. And I was definitely inspired by Marion's catch-up last program. Mm-hmm. And so I was thinking that I needed to read something that had edible flowers in it. And this book is gorgeous. I mean, look at the cover.
Yes.
Look at that spread of gorgeous photos.
Lovely things. I was so fascinated with her society garlic. I tried to buy some around town, but couldn't find any. And then, voila, Marion's given us some.
Yes, it was very generous. Thank you, Marion.
Yes.
So this is part cookbook, part garden guide. Kind of has everything you need to get started growing and eating flowers. The authors, Erin, who's a chef, and Joe, who's a gardener, they live in Northern Ireland, and they've been serving garden-to-table meals for some time. That's kind of one of the things they do. And this is their first cookbook / gardening book. They say they've got four main reasons why they like to grow and eat flowers. Flavour. Edible flowers have different flavours, like delicious, interesting flavours that you won't really encounter anywhere else. Mm-hmm. Like nasturtium flowers look amazing and then they've got that peppery taste to
them.
They do. Or I think magnolia flowers, the saucer magnolias taste kind of gingery.
Yeah.
So yeah, they've got really surprising flavours to them.
I think you have to have to look for the flavours though in flowers, don't you? Like they're
some
not going to jump out at you.
Some of them are quite in your face. Like nasturtiums are a bit more in your face.
They are very in your face.
Yes. Flavour is one of the reasons. Beauty is another. I mean, that kind of just speaks for itself,
absolutely.
Really. What is that saying around the first bite is with the eyes?
That's right.
Yep. Seasonality. By eating flowers, you also get more variety of year-round of foods you can eat because things like pansies and violas are available through winter.
Then
slowness. And what they mean by this is the act of slowing down and gardening and growing.
And collecting.
Yes, and collecting seed and that. So their introduction goes into sort of some of the reasons why they like growing and eating flowers. Yep. But then the rest of the introduction breaks down how to grow edible flowers. And then it also has a brief look at a plan for creating your own edible garden over like a 3-year period.
Yes.
Which is quite nice. They've definitely taken a longer term look at it. Like, there's plenty of things you can do right now, but they've also said, like, if this is something you want to do, plan for the longer term, because the returns you get on it.
Yes.
And that's then reflected in the rest of the book, because it's broken into three chapters to match the three aspects of the year they talked about, the three-year plan. So the first book chapter is spring sowing, and it focuses on annuals or perennials that are grown as annuals. So things that we think of as like one-and-done plants and the stuff you can get done really quickly. And then the second chapter is edible borders, and that's more of your herbaceous perennials, stuff that takes a bit longer to get there. And then the third chapter is trees and shrubs, so that's your like three-year plus. So they've sort of approached it like they have their three-year plan, which is quite nice. Each chapter within it has some useful concepts, such as growing plants from seed, drying flowers, saving seed, that kind of stuff. And then it has some specific plants that it looks at, or flowers, and some recipes to go with it. I think there's like 50 or so recipes in the book. Each flower entry then contains information about why they grow it, how you grow it, the best way to harvest them, best way to prepare them. It has a little text box that highlights like harvest time, tips for using them. Just see if I can show you. Yes, there's a little box that shows you. There's some stats. Like, it tries to make it really easy for you to look at and go, oh, that's what I do with it. So, for instance, this is cornflower. I've just opened the page to, and it says, flowers through summer and into autumn. Do eat the petals raw or cooked. Whole flowers also press well, although the blue colour isn't always preserved. Don't forget to deadhead to keep the flowers coming all season. And tastes mildly spicy. So, which I quite like that it has tasting notes.
Yes.
Means that you're not guessing, like, is this one spicy? So carnations, sweetly spicy of cloves.
Yes, well, they used to call them cloves.
They did.
Flowers, didn't
yes,
they
did. Mm. Yes, carnations used to be called cloves. So, what else? Oh, yes, and there's some additional information around soil preferences, shade versus sun, when to sow them, that kind of stuff. So that's like it's laid out really nicely. And then in between these lovely flower like guides, we've got some
nice
recipes.
Nice photography,
gorgeous pictures of the food. It's pretty straightforward. Like, it's got a little bit that tells you how many it serves with the recipe outline, and then it's got the recipes very neatly laid out. It's got a little bit of an intro, but it's not like they don't write a novel about each thing, which is nice. And some of them are quite complex, as you can see by the floral babka with cornflowers and carnations. It's quite a long process. Whereas others, like your salad, your ribboned courgette,
quick.
So let's have a look at chapter one specifically. Chapter one, I said, looks at annuals, covers growing plants from seed, making floral syrups and cordials, drying flowers and saving seed. In amongst all of those, it showcases some of those plants and recipes, so borage, calendula, carnation, cornflower. There's quite a list in this chapter. It's probably the biggest of them, I think.
Does it have a list of ones you do not eat?
No, it does
not.
It does not provide a list of flowers to not eat.
Because some of the flowers that look so pretty in the garden, you think, they must be edible, and yet they can turn out to be quite horrible.
Yes. but this chapter does contain one of the most eye-catching recipes for me. It's in the viola and pansy section, and that's the Vietnamese summer rolls with edible flowers.
Yes. Oh, the rolls.
Look
how
at
pretty
this
they are.
Picture. Mm.
Yeah.
So for our listeners,
I make summer rolls sometimes, so I've never thought about putting edible flowers in them, but they look fabulous, don't they?
So for our listeners who obviously can't see the picture I'm waving at, Ray, Vietnamese summer rolls are basically spring rolls but made with fresh rice paper rather than deep fried. And so they tend to be thought of as quite a fresh.
Yes, and then normally you try and show the prawn or the something.
Well, something within them.
Now you've just lined them. One side of them.
Yes. So these are just lined one side with some gorgeous decorative violas and pansies, which
really
pop.
And then
really
you put
pop.
The stuffing on top and roll it up. Oh,
yeah.
They look gorgeous, don't they?
Just? Mm. And it's just stunning how well it stands out. And, like, look at these veined.
Yes, and those. Yes, I agree with those particular
gorgeous
ones. They look like grumpy tigers, don't they, those ones?
Oh, I haven't thought about that. Yes, they do. So I really want to try making those. I've never made Vietnamese summer rolls before, but now I'm really motivated to give them a go.
Yep.
Chapter two looks at those edible borders, focuses primarily on herbaceous perennials, things it showcases are things like chives, English lavender, primrose. Chapter 3 does trees and herbs and covers how to take cuttings. So some of the plants showcased in here are things like elder, lilac, sweet geranium.
Yes.
There's a geranium sorbet that looks really interesting.
Yes, well, geranium, it's all pelargoniums. Mm. These are all pelargoniums, aren't they? One thing I don't have in my garden, I must actually get one of the scented ones.
Well, there you go.
You get lemon and orange and
yes,
nutmeg and all sorts of.
Yep. Yep. I think the one that's in here is a lemony type.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then they do say if you grow only one edible flower, choose calendula.
Yes.
Because, of course, it's a very fast-growing flower. If you deadhead it, it'll just keep blooming all summer long. Their petals dry really well, and its seeds are very, very easy to save.
And the bees love it.
And the bees love it. So that's my book. I borrowed it from the local library, but I'm sure the lovely Joe at Paper Tree could also bring you in a copy if you wish to own it. But it's just gorgeous. I found it a really fascinating review. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, well, I'm sure that it'll be available in all the libraries anyway.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
What about you, Ray? What did you look at this
month?
Well,
I had a very interesting book to look at. As opposed to, this is a homegrown book, a New Zealand book.
As opposed to an Irish book.
Yeah, it's a homegrown New Zealand book. And it's A Practical Guide to Homegrown Fruit by Kath Irvine and Jason Ross. When I read about the two authors, and I read that one was from South Island, in fact, Otago Peninsula, and one was from the North Island, I thought, I lay a bit in bed at night and thought, is this a wise book? Because does anybody in the South Island want to buy a book that's got half of it North Island? Or would somebody in the North Island want to? So I thought, well, Ray, don't worry about it. Read the book first.
Yes, give it a review.
Yes. So anyway, the authors, as I said, Kath Irvine and Jason Ross, they've got a wealth of knowledge and experience on growing all sorts of fruit in the home garden. Now, they talk about orchards all the time, but as they said, if you've got a fruit tree, a bramble like a raspberry or blackberry or something, and perhaps a feed jar, you've got an orchard.
Okay.
So an orchard doesn't have to be
rows upon rows.
It's just your own little orchard.
Okay.
With a lemon tree maybe thrown in. Okay. Now, Kath comes from the lower North Island. Not quite specific about where she is there. And Jason's come from the Otago Peninsula. Now, he is an actual commercial grower of trees and does gardening and things. But the book isn't set out north-south.
Right.
Now, as I feared, but covers subjects and makes suggestions and gives advice for all regions in New Zealand.
Excellent.
Which is why it's such a special book, because it is New Zealand.
Yes.
You know, there's no trying to turn the world around. Tip North Island, Northern Hemisphere, Southern Hemisphere. It has the shortest intro of any book I've read recently. It is 7 lines.
Wow.
Nature is naturally healthy. Thanks to the web of life, the vast network of all living things, trees, plants, animals, birds, insects, worms, fungi, bacteria, and more besides, that work together to keep health humming along. Follow nature's ways, grow your fruit trees within diverse plant communities, look after the web of life, and health and abundance will follow. It's such a thrilling journey, and we're with you all the way. Which gives you the tone for the whole book. It's a jolly, friendly, encompassing book, you know, you're in there, yeah, and you're in there with them. So I really enjoyed that little one. So then I went through, and I was quite fascinated. Number one in the contents, number one is a tree school.
It's a tree school, okay,
and it's a fascinating look at the anatomy of a tree.
Right.
Well, there's a bramble there as well, but the anatomy of the tree was just so interesting. I thought, I did biology at high school, and I don't remember doing half of this.
Oh, interesting.
You know, it was all sorts of interesting things about what happens in trees, what happens in the actual branches in the trunk. You know, this.
Oh, yes. Yeah, yeah, the layers to it.
Then there's the anatomy of brambles, and it goes on about all things, cycle of life of a tree and things like that.
Hmm.
I read it with fascination. I mean, I haven't got any trees now, but I was still really interested. And look, the drawings and photos are great. Then contents two is what every book tells us. You have to learn the lay of your land.
Oh, yes. Every book worth its salt, if it's a gardening book, it should tell you to know the lay of your land.
Know the lay of your land. And it was lovely because they were going, talked about it in general. And then, you know, simple things like, if you've got a damp patch, that's where you plant your apple.
Yeah.
If you've got a dry bit, that's where your peach goes.
Yeah.
You know, rather than, well, they did talk, of course, about getting pH and things done.
Oh, yeah.
Which, you know, there's lots of simple kits for that. But I don't think they don't get down and really dirty with it. They just talk about good ways you should look at it.
They're trying to make it easier as opposed to over-engineering it, because if you get stuck on measuring your pH and putting a soil meter in and doing this and doing that, you'll never actually think,
go down the road and buy an apple.
Yeah. Yes.
Until you taste your own apple, and then you know how the difference it is. So that's, and they say that's the chapter's most important for successful. Yep. Number three is choosing your fruit trees.
Mm-hmm.
First, your wish list. So you write out your wish list, and then you look through their category of everyday fruit. And these are chosen as the most reliable, productive, and bomb-proof varieties.
Yes.
So, you know, you might want to have a fancy variety, but in your area, it ain't going to work. So they'd say the ones that are going to be reliable. So all your work doesn't go to nothing because it's too delicate.
Yeah, there's definitely some of those plant varieties out there that you could spend hundreds of thousands of dollars trying to get this tree to do what you want it to do.
So I think that was really good. And their list of varieties is quite wide.
Mm-hmm.
Plenty of choice, but they're the ones that they can, well, I guess, is guarantee as much as they can are going to be successful. And four is planning your orchard. Now, this is a bit, of course, would be the fun. they took natural versus formal orchards,
mm-hmm.
pros and cons of each.
Yep.
You know, do you want to?
Yep. Do you want, like, your
neat rows, or do you want to have lots of activity? And I mean, one picture I saw here, when they look at it, they've got a little piggy underneath the tree.
Yes, yes.
And the gardener's chair underneath it. And caterpillars growing on the leaves. You know, so really all. And lots and lots of drawings. And the drawings are charming. Number five is planting your orchard. So finally, after all that work, you're actually going to plant something. And they take you through the preparation of the soil, which is so important.
Mm-hmm.
And the planning, how to plan properly, how to plant properly. Because if you don't get the roots in the right place, and you don't put your staking in at the right time and things like that, you know, they're all things that are just so easy. But unless you do them. Then number five, now this is number six. And this is the one, keep your orchard humming. Get out there and look at it every day. Get to know your trees. Know when they look a bit sick. Know when they're looking happy. You know, and then what to do about it.
Yeah, so that pest control is all important.
Yeah, absolutely. Then once you've got a harvest, how to harvest it, store it and share it. And really there they have a harvest catalogue.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because the guesswork you know very well. When's an apple ripe? How many do you have to pick before you discover they're ripe?
Yeah.
Well, they have a catalogue of when each one should be ready to pick. And the signs you should be looking for.
Nice.
Normally it's the birds.
Yeah.
You know, if the birds get there first, you know that you're too late.
Yes, unfortunately.
Yes. So in some ways. And then how to, all that for things from the deciduous fruit trees, you know, apples and things, right through the pip fruit, stone fruit, right through Tamarillos, which, of course, don't grow very well in Christchurch, as I found out last year.
No, sadly no.
At $24 a kilo at the moment in the shops, I would have liked to have grown a Tamarillo tree.
Yep, you'd have to baby it in a corner somewhere, right?
No, I asked. That's another thing. I won't talk about that here. I asked somebody who did have one that was quite old, but they put it outside and it so it didn't survive.
Right.
There's an orchard calendar, what to do each season, and after that, there's a resource section, a New Zealand resource
that's
section.
That's good. Yeah.
That says where you can buy things and what books to read.
That's always handy.
I said the Great Illusion illustrations, illusions too if you dream too much, hand-drawn plans, diagrams, photos, all very relevant. You know, nice. They all pick up something.
Yeah.
I originally thought this book might be a bit hard to digest because, mm-hmm. you know, it's a bit of a meaty book. And then it might be in two parts, as I said before, yeah. north and south. But it's so easy to read and covers all the basics anyone anywhere in New Zealand would need to have a successful orchard.
Oh, fabulous.
Now, I borrowed this book from Paper Tree.
From the lovely Joe. Jackson,
from Joe. It's $55.99, but it's really worth. And I'm sure you can get in the library to yes. have a look at it. And you might, if you're really interested, if you sit in the library, I think.
Might be the kind of thing you may, want to
the sort
own.
Of thing you'd want to because it is so, so good. So there we are.
Oh, well, that looks like something I may have to
have a little look
have
at.
A look at myself. Well, that's our books done.
Yes.
We should probably have a chat about what's coming up at the CHS.
Well, that's right, because, you know, here we are, very close to the end of autumn.
Yes, and things have not slowed down at the CHS by the looks of it.
No, they sure haven't.
All right, what have we got? Garden Life in June.
Oh.
Immediately following the long weekend, the King's Birthday weekend.
That's right, we've got Michael Brown.
Yes, Michael Brown from the Canterbury Rose Society is going to do a rose pruning demonstration.
Oh, he's so good. If you want to learn, go to him. He's the man.
He is, absolutely.
He's the man, yeah.
And then Julian, who was with us last month, or earlier this month.
Yes.
Time does weird things.
Yes,
is going to talk about the winter solstice, the astronomical, historical and cultural significance to gardens and gardeners.
Oh, that's fascinating, isn't it?
Yeah. So that should be an interesting listen. So Tuesday the 2nd at 6 p.m. and Wednesday the 3rd at 1 p.m.
That's right. Now the bot dots are going.
They are indeed. Term time only, just a reminder though. So that's Mondays 10 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. gardening and nature themed activities for preschoolers.
Yeah, that gets a lot of young ones. And I go in there and I see all the lovely artwork that they've done.
Yes.
Quite fascinating.
All about flowers.
Yeah.
Last Thursday of the month, so that makes it the 28th of May this month. And to go along with the edible flower book that I just reviewed, Debs, our very own Debs Eagle, is doing edible and pressed flowers this month.
Oh, great.
So if that's something you'd like to learn more about, pop along on Thursday morning, 10:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m.
Yep, that'll be great. So terrariums, wow. Mm. Yes.
Learn the essentials of terrarium design with Rhonda Cairns, and you'll get to build your own terrarium to take home.
Yeah, and that should be great. I mean, they're just, if lots and lots of people love terrariums.
They're just this little miniature globe. It's like
miniature gardens in there and all the things you can put in to get the trees and the grasses and things.
Oh, you could also put little miniature, like, people and like sculptures and stuff. You can turn it this whimsical little fairy garden. I don't know. I really like them.
Well, I think there's lots of people out there love fairies and a fairy terrarium would be quite fun, wouldn't it?
So that's Saturday the 6th of June, 2 till 4 p.m. And then Thursday the 11th of June, 6:30 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. we've got arranging with orchids.
Now that's very interesting because orchids are not the easiest thing to arrange with.
So floral artist Yvette Edwards, one of our All About Flowers coordinators, is doing a hands-on workshop to celebrate the beauty of New Zealand-grown orchids. So you'll create a striking, long-lasting arrangement to take home. And from the notes in the workshop brief, it's going to be quite a structural one.
Yeah, so. I think, it would need to be. Oh, botanical printmaking. That'd be interesting.
Yes. So by Starling Studio, Carrie Dingwall, that's on Saturday the 13th of June from 2 to 4 p.m, you will get to design, carve and print your own botanical artwork.
Oh, that'd be neat.
Then we've got botanical embroidery, Monday the 29th of June, 6 to 9 p.m. That'll be a relaxing and inspiring three-hour workshop doing hand embroidery. And then we've got lots more coming up.
Natural dye workshop. Well, that's you.
No, that's not me. Well, yes. Actually, the topic is me.
That's what I mean. I'm not running it. That's you. The topic's you.
Budvar's workshop, so some ceramics.
Yeah, bonsai one too.
And lots more online. So that's us for today. But make sure you join us again in a couple of weeks, Monday the 8th of June.
Yes.
We are hopefully, if I've got my scheduling skills sorted, we'll be chatting with Laura from Trees for Canterbury.
Yep. And so that's a wrap.
That is a wrap.
We're over and done with.
But yes, we'll talk to you again in a couple of weeks.
We will indeed.
And until then, happy gardening. Thanks for joining us for our Green Thumbs book reviews today.
All books reviewed on the show are available at Paper Tree, Tower Junction, your local library, or at other good Canterbury booksellers.
Make sure to get involved with the Canterbury Horticultural Society and check out what's coming up on Facebook and at chsgardens.co.nz.
And find past episodes at plains.org.nz and subscribe to the podcast on Spotify and Apple Podcasts.
Happy reading!